upload it?
I decided I'll upload it only on Saturdays.
Good. Where are you uploading it?
RoopaRaghunathwani.com. I'll create one page called Audios and I'll put it there, that's all.
Okay,
we are here. We are within those five arthas. Tesham Lakshanani. Eshu Ishwaradini Chatwari Nityani. Amongst these four.
Which page? Well, this is continuation of Baladeva Vidya Bhushan.
Yes, we are still in the middle of Baladeva Vidya Bhushan because we came to one complicated section, so I just stopped it there.
Which
among.
Page? Which page is ready?
I don't know what you mean by which page.
In English. English book?
English book page 2. The characteristics of these items are as follows.
The algorithm is not working about.
Huh?
Monitor.
It is very much working. I am seeing both.
It doesn't
work. Come on, I cannot go on doing alt tab. I'll go mad with that.
But it's too difficult to concentrate on it. Okay, seeing it at least. Your book or seeing it in easy.
Here also two pages I am seeing at the same time.
It's more this thing.
Shravanam.
No, that's going. Come on.
Why is the projector?
Okay, here you go.
I will bring projector when I come from
the time. I have a projector, but I don't know how I can use it. You have to find out how to use a second screen and a projector.
Okay, well, let's finish this lab, then I will figure it out. If it is possible.
No, there is some additional something you are supposed to put.
We may be able to project from the screen to a projector.
Yeah?
I don't know, I am just guessing.
Among them, the first four, Ishwara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma, are eternal. Well, see, this is where I am struggling. Jiva Dini Tu Ishavashyani. Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma are under the control of Ishwara. Pum? No. Karma tu prag abhavavad anadi vinashicha. The fifth item, karma has no beginning, anadi, and is liable to destruction like prior non-existence, prag abhava. Tatra samvit swarupopi ishvaraha jivascha samvetta asmadarthascha vijnanam anandam brahma ya sarvagya sarvavit manta buddha karta vijnanatma purusha ityadi shrutehe. The only objects which have consciousness as their essential property, Swarupa, are Ishwara and Jiva. They are aware of other things, Samvetta, and have recognition of I, self-awareness, Asmadartha. So the idea is they are both self-aware and other-aware. Okay, this is a good note. The followers of Shankara argue that Brahman is consciousness itself with no awareness of self or other things, what to speak of being a doer. So Shankaracharya's followers, they accept that Brahman is Chaitanyam, but it is Chaitanyam without any asmadartha. It has no self-awareness, nor is it a samvetta, nor is it aware of anything other than itself.
Asmadartha means
a sense of I, egoism. The Shruti says, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma, that knowledge, that Brahman is.
My question is, how do they come to that conclusion?
Upanishads. They quote statements from the Upanishads that appear to state things like that. In Govinda Vashya, we'll see that. Second chapter, Govinda Vashya. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Manta Bodha Karta Vijnanatma Purushaha. That Purusha, who is knowledge itself, is the controller, the knower and the doer. Yes, Sarvagya Sarvavit. He who knows all things and who attains all things. Unda Gopanishad. Yeah, it's wrong. Because Baladeva Vidya Bhushan has commented on this. See, this portion also has been also appears in Govinda Vashya and other places also, and it has been commented in Sukshma Tika and other places. So,
which is that he who gets is what? Which portion of Sanskrit is Sarvagya?
Sarvagya is known. Sarvavit means the word with has different meanings. One is attainer, one is knower. Now, in the Upanishads, there is no question of redundancy. It's called Punarukti. The same thing will not be unnecessarily repeated. So therefore, he gives another meaning, that Vit means to attain. Sarvam Vindati Iti Sarvavit. He attains everything. That means he attains whatever he wishes. Why this is not going on? So kamayata bahusyam sukhamaham aswapsam nikinchide vedisham ityadi shrutescha. And the Shruti says concerning self-awareness, so kamayata bahusyam, he desired, may I become many. Sukhamaham aswapsam nakinchida vedisham, I slept happily and was not aware of anything. It's a note. This phrase is raised by Sridhar Swami in his commentary to 11.3.39 to illustrate that the soul experiences during deep sleep while mind, intellect and ahankara are not functioning. This is analyzed in the second half of Tattva Sandarbha also. It basically means that now the subtle body is not active, but the soul is still aware. If it was not aware, then how can it remember later on the status of deep sleep? So it proves that the soul is an experiencer. Experience is not coming only because of the subtle body. Experience is intrinsic to the soul. So this statement is a proof of that. This is also a matter of common experience. This awareness of, okay, this comes here later. Na cha ubhayatra mahatattva jato yam ahankara tada tasya an utpatteer virinatvaccha. This awareness of self in both the Lord and the Jiva is not the material ahankara which arises from the mahatattva. That is a meaningless proposal, since the material ahankara disappears during pralaya. So kamayata shows that the Lord had an identity before manifestation of ahankara during the status of pralaya. So kamayata bahusyam is a description of the thoughts of the Supreme Being during the status of pralaya.
Okay.
You understand? So at the time of pralaya, there is no question of the material ahankara. Third canto, Mahatattva produces three types of ahankara. Taijasa, what do they call? Vaikarika, Taijasa and I think Sattvika ahankara. They produce the devas,
yeah,
indriyas and so on. Now this ahankara is not that ahankara, because that would be inactive. It would be in the stock, it would be in the avyakta at the status of pralaya.
But pralaya means the process of destruction is pralaya, huh?
And the status after that also.
That is also called pralaya.
It's dissolved. There is pralaya. Okay, the process of dissolution may be called pralaya.
Mm-hmm.
But there is definitely a lot of time in between.
So what is that time called? That's not called pralaya.
Brahma's night.
That's okay, whatever you call it. The point is, at that time, ahankara is gone in.
Yeah.
And it is only coming out after later, much later.
Yes,
in fact, the Lord himself has to activate
it. Agitate the pradharma. Only ahankara.
What is this ahankara? Here, the Supreme Lord is thinking, bahusyam, I will become many. So here, Siam means I will. So this, that means I-ness is there. So where is this I-ness coming from? The sense of I cannot be coming from that ahankara.
But which Lord is thinking here? I will
no, everybody accepts that there is one particular Narayana. Even Shankaracharya accepts Narayana only. They all accept Narayana.
Mahavishnu, Narayana, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Mahanarayana.
Or Narayana, it's not some other Vedic deity. That much they all accept it.
What is it trying to prove there?
It's trying to prove that this ahankara is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and the living entity. This is proof. Look.
That we are accepting it, right?
Who?
We we are accepting it.
We are accepting why? Even if we are accepting, we are accepting on what basis? You have to know the basis. This is the basis. This is the basis for the living entity having intrinsic ahankara, jaiva ahankara, not prakrita ahankara. Similarly, this is the basis for saying that the Supreme Lord has transcendental ahankara. There has to be a basis, no?
For him, it is the state when everything is dissolved. Then his thinking may become many.
May I
become many.
You understand? Sacha, sacha, karta, bhokta, siddha.
But then we interpret that as may I become many could be, many could be all the jiva, whatever, the illusion.
You are trying to understand what Shankaracharya says for this.
It could be wrong.
That's okay. That much later on we will see what these people talk.
So now that Narayana anyway is supposed to be illusion only.
No, it's not this one. They are not Buddhas, first of all. They are not Buddhas to come up with some crazy childish version of Mayavad. They are very sophisticated versions of Mayavad. In fact, if you simply read Tattva Sandarbha with Gopi Prananda's explanation, he correctly reflects how Shankaracharya's followers actually explain things.
By the way, my Tattva Sandarbha is with you.
It's not your Tattva Sandarbha, it's my.
It's written there, Achyut Chaitanya Das. I think so. I tried to repeat that I didn't find it. My wife said, maybe your friend has taken it.
Sacha, sacha, karta, bhakta, siddha, sarvagya, sarvavit, karta, bodha, iti padebhyaha. Thus, the Lord is proved to be both a doer and experiencer, karta and bhakta, from the use of the word sarvagya, sarvavit, bodha and karta. Anubhavitrittvam khalu bhoktrittvam sarva bhyupagatam.
You got that from inter here, he's explaining? How did you get that explanation?
What?
The previous two verses you were explaining.
Which one?
Where did you get that from?
He's saying Govinda Bhashya.
It's from Govinda Bhashya you're getting it.
What?
You're getting it from here only.
What?
The two explanations of the Lord Sahankara and Jiva Sahankara.
That is, first of all, he is saying it here. Or you are telling where, on what basis I am saying all, so much of subtext.
Yeah, it is from.
It is from, it is from, in other places also other he explains.
Not
it.
From here, right?
Here he simply summarized it.
Okay, Balbara is not left out from this, I'm asking, no.
There is a lot of.
No, I mean, in the text itself, the text itself is not left out anything, no?
No. He has not missed anything. Anubhavitrittvam khalu bhoktrittvam sarvabhyupagatam. The equivalence of knowing with experiencing or enjoying is recognized by all as in the following statement. Soshnute sarvan kaman sahabrahmana vipashita iti shutes tu ubhayos tatpra vyaktam. Soshnute sarvan kaman sahabrahmana vipashita. He enjoys all sense objects along with the knowing Brahman. This statement makes clear the equivalence of the two words knowing and enjoying. Okay, the point is this. When it says that he is a bhokta, bhokta simply means he is an experiencer. And that is accepted by all schools. All schools means there are various schools of Upanishadic interpreters.
Bhokta means experiencer.
Experiencer.
Okay.
Whereas the word bhokta can also mean enjoyer. Okay. So here when he says the karta, bhokta, siddhaha, it is well established that both of them are doers. Doers means responsible agents. Bhokta means experiencers. They experience. And the evidence for that is this statement. That this is actually referring to the status of a liberated soul after liberation. Comes from Upanishads only. He attains all desirable objects and he enjoys all of them with the enlightened Brahman. Not actually enlightened, I don't know how to say. Enlightened.
He's talking about who now? Jiva.
The liberated soul.
He enjoys all senses along with the knowing.
Knowing Brahman. With the Brahman who is vipaschit.
What do you mean Brahman who is vipaschit? Brahman is not always vipaschit?
Yes, but the Upanishad clearly describes Brahman as a person who is vipaschit.
Full knowledge.
He's in knowledge. The idea is that he's not that the Shankarite concept of Brahman.
When they refer to sense objects here, what sense objects are they saying?
not sense object, it refers to desirable objects. Sarvan Kaman here refers to desirable objects.
What could be desirable objects?
Oh, the liberated soul, whatever he desires, he gets, simply by sankalpa.
So what is it he enjoys?
He attains.
But he is transferred to enjoy.
Ashnute. He attains, he's happy. You cannot deny that he's happy. He experiences happiness. The basic idea is the souls are responsible agents, the souls are experiencers. They are not just passive.
So when you say doer, doesn't doer itself have the connotation of experiencer? I'm just asking. Or maybe technically it doesn't.
No. Technically it is not...
Doer is not always an experiencer. Experiencer may not be a doer.
No, doer means responsible agent. You are held responsible for your activities. Yadyapi samvit swarupat samvetrutvadi nanyat prakasha swarupat ravereva prakashatvadi tathapi vishesha samarthya tad anyatva vyavahara. Even though the state of being the knower is not actually different from the Lord, as samvit swarupa, knowledge itself, just as the sunlight is not different from the sun, the Lord and his capacity to know are distinguished as different by the power of vishesha. Even though there is no distinction between the knower and knowledge, just as there is no distinction between the illumination and the source of illumination, like the sun, still on the strength of vishesha, there is a vyavahara, there is a convention of talking about them as if they are different. This is directly taken from Madhvacharya. Vishesha is the power of objects to distinguish their being from their qualities. This concept is derived from Madhva. So the idea is that we talk about the Supreme Lord's consciousness as if being different from the Supreme Lord. But in reality they are one. Okay. There is just a vyavaharika difference. There is just a conventional difference.
Only for the Lord or for Jiva also?
For the living entities also. Visheshascha bheda pratinidhir nabhedaha. This power of vishesha produces a likeness to difference, but does not produce actual difference. Sacha bheda abhave api bheda karyasya dharma dharmi bhavadi vyavaharasya hetuhu. This potency gives rise to affecting difference, to enacting the states of object and attribute, though there is no real difference. Satta sati bhedo bhinna kala sarvada asti tyadishu vidvadbhi pratitaha. Thus the wise acknowledge meaningful statements such as being exists. For instance, sadeva saumya idam agra asit. Existence alone existed. There are statements like this in the Upanishads. Okay. So being exists. Existence exists. Difference is distinct. Distinction is distinct. Time exists at all times. Kala sarvada asti. Time exists at all times. Okay.
What do you mean of being exists? Means being again can be a conscious person exists. But what do you mean existence exists?
Existence can exist, but existence does not exist according to Buddhists, for instance.
Illusion.
Yes.
So this is not illusion, the existence exists.
Yes.
Okay, the next one, what is the next one there?
Difference is distinct.
Which difference?
The difference between the jivas is different from the difference between the forms of Ishvara, which is different between the difference between earth, water, fire, air, ether.
He's not established that. Right?
No, but the wise acknowledge this.
So you're saying thus the wise acknowledge. Where is that coming from? Thus is a conclusion, no?
Yes.
So what is the statement which
because these are all statements of the wise. Why do they acknowledge this is like this? On the basis of vishesha. That is his logic. This is first of all bodily taken from Vyasa Tirtha, as it is.
Okay, so on the basis of vishesha, what are we saying? Existence exists.
How can you make statements like this? that the difference is distinct. Difference A is distinct from difference B.
What do you mean difference A? What do you mean when you say difference A?
You need to study Tarka, only then you will understand it. There is Ishvara.
Okay.
There is Jiva.
Okay.
There is Jada.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there is Jiva Jiva Bheda.
Jiva Jiva, among two Jivas.
Yeah, between two Jivas, yes.
What difference is there? No, they're same, no quality.
They're literally same.
No, that you are talking in terms of
so
Rupa,
some,
no, but
whatever, there is some difference now. Some difference is there.
Yeah, some difference is there.
Some
okay.
difference has to be there.
Okay.
Otherwise, how they can be plural?
Okay.
So
fine,
two
fine.
Fingers
I
mean
these
were different. Whatever.
Rupa, okay,
whatever.
Okay.
Two Jivas are different.
Okay, but this looks to be completely out of the blue. Where is it? I mean, so far
first of all, he's not talking to our audience. He's talking to people who know all these subject matters.
Now, how did we jump from experiencer and the doer to this? What is the?
I think that's the previous statement which.
That is over. That is the previous paragraph. That topic is over. Now he is talking about
the state of being.
He is talking of how can you talk about.
Sunlight, yes, sunlight. All that is there, yes. We talk about sunlight, and that is fine. Then
so,
what is this? Suddenly Jiva is coming. Where is this?
No, but on what basis are you going to distinguish between consciousness and the conscious entity?
Vishesha, right?
Yeah, but what is this Vishesha?
Vishesha is a power to...
Thank you, you are just repeating this.
Yes, no, it's a power to distinguish the quality from the person, right? Essentially that's what it is.
It is that which causes
likeness of difference,
no,
I mean,
yeah,
appearance of difference.
That Veda Pratinidhi, that's a representation of difference, but there's no difference.
Yes, representation of difference, yes.
Okay. It is on the basis of this concept of Vishesha that we say that the Supreme Lord's consciousness and the Supreme Lord being a conscious entity refers to the same.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, now the other schools of thought don't accept Vishesha at all.
They don't accept Vishesha.
Ramanuja group doesn't accept it at all.
Other groups is
wrong. Of course. So how are you going to convince them that Vishesha exists? Okay, since so anyway you brought it up. Don't blame me. No, it is not.
The two Bhagavacharya, why are they
doing it? No, for me, no, it looks like. Not the Vishesha thing, but further statements, there are two statements which are there. I don't know what it, how to take it.
Where is my Tattvagrantha Kalapa?
What?
I don't have it here. Where is that? Last. No. If I don't find it, then I'll have to drop it. But this has been discussed in great detail. It is not some simple subject actually.
Basically this thing is sun and sunlight. That's okay, we can understand that, okay. There's actually no difference, but for the sake of description, there is no difference.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
But I'm not able to draw the connection after that. That's where the problem is.
Yes, I see.
What you're not, you're asking.
This potency, Vishesha potency is referring to. What potency is referring to?
Vishesha.
The power of Vishesha produces likeness to difference.
Yes.
Or at that point produce the actual difference.
Fine. That
this is internal difference.
Okay.
The Lord and difference. The Lord and his form.
Yeah, okay. It's
okay. This is not between the Lord and the living entity.
Yeah. Till there is okay.
This potency gives rise to affecting difference to.
This is his translation. Read the.
This is something.
Check what is what how.
Look.
Write an English thing on the screen, then it makes some sense.
So how do I do that? Visheshasya bheda pratinidhihi na bhedaha. And Vishesha is a representation of difference. It is not difference.
Yeah,
okay. That's fine.
Sarcha bheda abhave api. Even in the absence of difference, bheda karyasya dharma dharmi bhavadi vyavaharasya hetuhu. It is a cause of the convention that talks about dharma and dharmi, etc.
Oh, fine. Dharma is simple. It is a cause of the convention.
It's a cause of a convention, that's all.
Vishesha is a cause of the convention.
Yes. Okay.
Satta sati, bhedo bhinnaha, kalaha sarvada asti, ityadishu vidvadvi pratitaha. And that is experienced by the learner in the form of statements such as existence exists, difference is different, time is always existing.
So now my question is, that means these statements which actually show the difference, why, for example, existence exists. So the existence is shown as different from existing.
Yes. But in reality.
But reality is not.
There's no distinction.
So that means there's no distinction between them.
Yes.
Yes.
In the statement, there is no distinction.
Yes.
Right?
It is only a convention.
It's only a convention to say that existence exists.
Similarly, we say time always exists.
Yeah.
It is only a convention.
It is my opinion.
It is not Mayavada.
Yeah, it's Mayavada.
What is Mayavada?
It's existence, the convention, it's Mayavada, no.
Arey Baba, you people don't know what is Mayavada, that means.
No, you to explain that you need to see this conscious being and consciousness. If there's no difference between the conscious being and consciousness, then it's Mayavada, right?
No, it's not Mayavada. Like a sun and sun rays is not different. Sun and its illumination are not different.
That's only for the sake of, okay.
Because there's a reason, there's a very important reason why Madhvacharya invokes all this. How will you explain the Upanishadic statements that there is no internal diversity between in the Supreme Absolute Truth?
There is internal diversity, but you're saying...
There is no internal diversity in the Absolute Truth. Upanishad says this repeatedly. So he uses
the
Vishesha.
So no, no, if the Vishesha word is the diversity, then it is Mayavada philosophy, you know, because the diversity doesn't exist. See, the point is, let's say the Jiva is different from Ishvara.
That is not Vishesha. This is where Madhva and everyone catch you. This is not Vishesha, is referring to internal features. Between.
No, but you said that in the Absolute Truth, there is no differentiation.
Within the Absolute Truth, within Ishvara, within Vishnu.
Within the Absolute Truth means, see, Jiva is, Ishvara is Absolute Truth.
Yes.
Jiva in its Swarupa position is also Absolute Truth.
No.
Why not Absolute
Never,
Truth?
Never. Because it does not have independent existence. That which does not have independent existence is not the Absolute Truth.
The relationship between the Ishvara and Jiva is Absolute Truth.
What is it? No. The relation between the Jiva and Ishvara is not Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is Ishvara alone. This is not in line with any of the four schools and the Gaudiya Vaishnava school.
I am confused.
No, it's not confused. Yeah. You are using the word Absolute Truth from the English.
Yeah.
But
when I say Absolute Truth, I mean Parameshwar. I am talking of Param Brahma.
Yeah.
Satyam Param.
Speaks like independent.
Yeah.
Therefore, Jiva cannot come in that second.
Okay. But that means
no,
in English. It's just
you,
English.
So you will have to say, is the Jiva absolutely real?
No, it is a Jiva, the relationship with the Jiva and Ishvara always exist.
Yes. But you cannot use Vishesha for that.
It always exists.
Yes, of
One
course.
One feature of the Absolute Truth is the relationship of the Absolute Truth to the Jiva, that you can say.
Yeah.
But you cannot say the relationship.
What? The relationship is absolutely real, that's all.
Real, but you cannot say the relationship.
You cannot call it the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is that which is independent in existence and functioning and consciousness. Satta, Pravritti and Pramiti has to be independent. Prakriti does not have that feature of independent existence, independent functioning, independent awareness. The jivas don't have independent existence, independent functioning, independent awareness. Therefore, they are not fit to be referred to as Brahman in the highest sense. Vishesha is only used to refer to Swagata Veda. There are three kinds of differences. There is Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata Veda. Like a mango tree is different from a coconut tree. Okay, this is called Sajatiya Veda. Within the same category, but they are different. Both within the same category of tree. Whereas a mango tree is different from a sparrow. This is a Vijatiya Veda. Within that mango tree, there are branches, leaves, sprouts, bark. This is internal, Swagata Veda. Now very clearly, Narada Pancharatra says, there is no Sajatiya Veda, no Vijatiya Veda, and no Swagata Veda also in Brahman, Supreme Brahman.
Among the different forms of the Lord.
There is no Swagata Veda, Swagata Veda Vivarjita Atma. Madhvacharya himself quotes it.
I know, but what I'm saying is, no,
so now how will you explain?
All the three types of differences around there.
There are no differences. So now
you are... Okay, the Lord is different from the Jiva. The Lord is different from...
So the Lord is not different from the Lord.
Yeah.
The
Lord is not different from the incarnations of the Lord.
There's no distinction between He and Angani, Asya, Sagalendriya, Vritti, Manti. All that you'll have to invoke and explain. So that distinction is due to Vishesha. Like we say, Krishna took his hand and he ate the Rasgulla. Okay, now he and his hand are non-different. Where is the question of Krishna taking his hand? He is himself his hand. So that is that now, but still, even the enlightened souls, they use such expressions on the strength of Vishesha. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan is pointing out that this Vishesha concept is fully compatible with our Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings, and he's taken it bodily from Vyasatirtha and put it. Literally, the entire sentences and example is taken as it is.
So then that leads to the statement existent exists. Existence exists.
It's a simple sample statement. There are many more statements you can make like this.
What do you mean existence exists?
You have to read the 10 Upanishads, only then you will come across these kind of statements.
It is Sajatiya Veda. No, not Sajatiya Veda, but it's Swagata Veda.
So when you say existence, the Lord's existence, there's no difference between the Lord and His existence. Is that what you're saying? When you say existence exists.
Okay, you answer this question. What exists? According to your school of thought, what exists and what does not exist? Okay, let me answer first of all. I'll first of all say what does not exist.
Okay.
I will say, the horn of a rabbit does not exist.
Yes.
The egg of a horse does not exist.
Okay.
They are non-existent.
Because they are non-existent. So now you have understood there is some category called, abstract category called non-existence. Okay.
Yes.
And there is another abstract category called existence then. It's a counter correlate of that.
Okay.
So pratiyogi.
Okay.
Okay. So in your system of thought, you have two divisions. Existence and non-existence.
Yes.
So existence exists in your system of thought. Now you understood. Now the reason you don't understand it is because
I got it.
In the Jain philosophy and in Buddhism,
they say existence doesn't exist.
There are various planes of reality. So if you are coming from such a crazy intellectual background, you will have to state these kind of things very distinctly and clearly. Now for people who don't come from all these weird backgrounds, it's very peculiar and strange to see things like that.
That is clear that existence exists from the
non-existent perspective. Non-existence perspective.
Yeah.
So there is non-existing things which don't exist. There is existing things which exist.
Yes. There are existing things which appear to exist also.
Like
Vastavam Vastu, Avastavam Vastu and Avastu. These are three different things. Vishnu Chakravarti deals with this in 112 in his commentary.
What are the difference between the three?
We are going outside of Bhagavad
Gita. No, but connect to that thing, then again we will proceed. We will not get stuck like this all the time.
No, like this only it goes. Then it is similar to how the Sri Vaishnavas study their Grantha Chatushtaya for 25 years. and they're very happy. After when they reach 70 years, then they write books.
After 70 years.
If you are 40 years, you're considered a very young scholar.
So what is being tried, what they're trying to, this thing, the existence exists when they say, what, for
first
example,
of all, it's just an ordinary statement, you know, this is not even, it's just a sample of several
no,
types of
example,
statements.
Say, there's a conscious being and consciousness of that conscious being, right?
Hmm.
At least it's very clear, okay, there's a conscious being, consciousness of that conscious being. Yet what is this existing, referring to whom? Or just...
No.
It's random.
No. First of all, statements like these are acceptable to all learned scholars. Learned scholar means one who accepts the authority of the Veda.
So okay, that means they are accepting these statements based on the concept of Vishesha.
Because Madhvacharya's whole point is, you may not believe in the concept of Vishesha and say that this is your invention. It's your conceptual invention. But how will you explain statements that, like this, Satta, Sati, existence exists? How will you explain statements like Kala Sarvada Asti, time always exists? How will you explain these kind of statements?
Basically, I'm trying to say time is not illusory, it is real. That's what I'm saying.
Huh?
Time is not illusory, it is real. Existence is not illusory, the existence is exists, it's real.
No, see.
This is not a philosophical teaching. He's simply saying
that's the point.
This is not a philosophical teaching.
See, there should be some basis for saying, for making statements like time always exists. Okay.
Time always exists is acceptable to various Vaishnavas, and the Mayavadis in a conditional sense may accept it also. But nevertheless, they use statements like this. Now, when you use statements, you cannot use statements that contradict grammar, that contradict certain basic commonness of the speaker and the hearer. Okay, like suppose I say we are sitting on the same level, we are talking within a shared perception of reality, no? So whether you believe in Mayavada or Buddhism or whatever you may be, people make statements like this. People make statements like this. And these statements are not considered to be ungrammatical, they are not considered to be senseless, they are not considered to be, like for instance, you cannot say things like, the food that we gave to the dog yesterday was as bad as the egg of a horse. You don't make statements like that. That kind of sentence is wrong. You understand?
Okay.
Semantically wrong. Semantically it's wrong. It is unacceptable.
Okay.
We are only considering various semantically right statements. Whether you believe in them or disbelieve in them, we are not bothered.
Okay.
These are not philosophical teachings.
It's not a philosophical teaching. It's just that there are some conventions of expression, and those conventions are of expression
can only be explained with reference to Vishesha.
Reference to Vishesha. That's it.
And they are non-controversial statements.
Okay.
Because even the Mayavadi will say Veda is Bhinna. But he will simply say that in our reality, but there is a higher reality which is beyond, it defies logic and this and that, all that they will bring. Okay, here it is. Shavanadipe kimatra gyayate. What is known through hearing Bhagavatam iti apekshayamaha vedyam iti. Anticipating that, he says vedyam. Vastavam adi madhya avasaneshu sthiram yadvastu tat nirmatsaranam vedyam veditum sakshat anubhavitum shakyam. So he is saying that the people who are free from envy, they are capable to know, which means they are capable of experiencing that which is vastava. Vastava means that which is constant in the beginning, middle and end. That vastu which is vastava can be experienced by those who are non-envious. Tairapi natra prayatna abhava kartavya tatpakshepi vedyam veditum arham ityartha labhat iti bhavaha. Even people who are non-envious should not avoid endeavoring. They should also endeavor. In other words, it is clear that they are capable of knowing or experiencing that vastava vastu. Tatcha bhagavata swarupam nama rupa gunadi vaikunthadi dhamani cha bhaktascha भक्तिश्चेति अन्यत् जगत् आदि सर्वं अवास्तवं अस्थिरं वस्तु इति अर्थे लब्धे वैकुंठादि जगत् आद्योः वस्तुत्वेपि वास्तवत्व अवास्तवत्वाभ्यां भेदश्च बोधितः. Now he says that the swarupa of the Supreme Lord, his name, his form, his qualities, and so on, Vaikuntha and other dhams of the Supreme Lord, devotees and devotion service, all of these are vastava vastu. Then from this we understand that there is another category that refers to jagat, the material existence. This is all avastava vastu, meaning that they are asthira vastu. They are not constant in the beginning, middle and end. So they are eternal, but they are not constant. They are changing. So this is avastava vastu. Tatascha mithya bhuta kha pushpadikam eva avastu ityayatam. So the conclusion is that the flower in the sky and so on is mithya, it's false. And that is avastu. It is a non-substance. So vastava vastu, avastava vastu, and avastu. Avastu is the egg of a horse, a flower in the sky, something which doesn't exist at all. Then you have avastava vastu, real things which are not constant in the beginning, middle, and end.
So the vishesha does not apply to Lord Sakshitattvas and all, only the Lord Vishwatattvas.
No, between the, it refers to an entity and its inseparable intrinsic properties. Where is my Tattva Mukta Kalapa?
So we translated
it also refer to incarnate.
Permanent substance, temporary substance, and non-existent.
Obviously it refers to the Supreme Lord and his personal expansions.
Yes. So it cannot refer to, can it refer to other Shakti Tattva expansions and all? Obviously it cannot refer to Jiva, that's for sure.
No, between the jiva and its consciousness, it vishesha is used.
So said it applies only to the Lord.
No, no, no. Anything when the differentiation is intrinsic, like the sun and the sunlight.
Intrinsic
sun
and inseparable.
Intrinsic and inseparable, the vishesha is used.
Not accidental. It has to be inseparable.
So when for the jiva, the consciousness and the conscious part
is vishesha.
Is vishesha?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what has
the Ramanujite line, they use the concept of apritak siddhi. They use the concept of inseparability of property and the substrate of property. Like for instance, the blueness of a blue lotus is inseparable from that blue lotus. Because the moment you take the blueness out,
yeah,
then it no longer a blue lotus.
Yeah.
So in the Sri Vaishnava system, they don't agree, they don't accept the concept of non-difference of the Supreme Lord and his body. They don't accept it. They think that the Supreme Lord and his body both are inseparably together. But they are different. Whereas Madhvacharya says, no, they are actually non-different. But it is by the power of Vishesha, there is a convention of talking about them as if they are different.
So that is about the Lord. What about Jiva? What happens to Jiva Vishesha?
Same way, the Jiva
is...
Our
hand, the Swarupa, our hand can perform the function of everything else. So how
that? I don't know. But the intrinsic feature of an entity, the intrinsic, inseparable, non-accidental feature of an entity. Non-accidental, because
non-accidental.
If you take an iron and you heat it, then it becomes tarala, it becomes liquefied. Okay, so now the liquefied state is caused due to external circumstance. It is not intrinsic, it is called accidental.
Okay.
It's caused due to extrinsic. We are not talking of such properties. We are talking.
So that means you cannot apply vishesha for the jiva in its conditioned state.
Obviously, because it is present in an upadika environment.
Hmm. We cannot say that the jiva is material body and the jiva is a vishesha.
No. They are actually different.
It's actually different.
They are actually different. They are actually different.
But how can this assume that they are different as Lord and his body?
No, they are saying that the Lord and his body are inseparable.
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 But different.
But different.
So what did this EA say, this Bengali poet?
Yes, I think the same way of saying it.
He wrote the poetry. So then what he said that his body is Chola Brahma and Achala Brahma. Agandas is what called? He is the soul, is something he told like this.
That is wrong.
Asking if to account to Sri Vaishnava.
So he had the concept of okay, they're inseparable, he said, but
no, he didn't say then the moment he's separating, no? He's separating the soul and the body are separable. So if you compare the Supreme Lord and his form to the soul and the body, then you're saying that they are separable. Even Sri Vaishnavas will not accept them.
Mm-hmm. So they don't say that he has soul and he has body like this.
No.
Like Prabhupada gave the example in introduction to Bhagavad Gita, sweetness of sugar. Like that, isn't it?
Dharma.
Dharma.
The same thing is in
the
head. But it is not the same.
It is
thing.
Almost the same. It is almost the same.
But what is the difference? It's just that the way of expression is different. If you say the Lord and his body are inseparable.
Swagata bheda vivarjita atma, that is where it comes. They are, Sri Vaishnavas also accept there is no sajatiya bheda, there is no vijatiya bheda. But swagata bheda they think exists. That's what I've been told. But in Madhva line, Madhva has strongly argued that there is no, he is apparently the dualist. But he strongly argues about the internal non-duality between the Supreme Lord and his intrinsic features. And we also accept it.
Can you say that swagata and swajati are different? Meaning of that?
Swagata means within.
Within.
Internal.
Swajatiya means same type.
Same type, okay.
Vijatiya means one type to another type. Like coconut tree and mango tree. Mango tree and sparrow. Then within the mango tree, the leaf and the
branches
and the
okay, let's move on.
Prabhupada clearly says that only the Lord can perform that kind of activity like eating with his eyes and all this, not the Jiva, right?
The Jiva cannot do all that.
Obviously then that for Jiva, that Swagata will not exist, the Vishesha will not apply there, no, for Jiva.
Why, even for Prakriti, or like time, what is this meaning of the statement, time constantly exists? Time is just material.
But is it clear that the Jiva cannot do it in his Swarupa state?
I don't know, that's what I think.
In Vaikuntha Jivas, they can serve Narayana in as many forms as they want.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
No, nine forms?
What?
Not nine forms, not restricted to nine.
That's all here.
They are referring to Vedic forms.
Vrata Bhagavatamrita also it says, no? He can expand himself.
Understand.
But of course, he's still limited. He's not unlimited like the Supreme Lord. But his desire to serve the Supreme Lord is fully facilitated by the Lord.
This is what I mean. According to my understanding, in whichever way he wants to serve the Lord, that desire is simply fulfilled.
By the Lord. Not by himself.
Yeah, true. But he is dependent on the Lord to fulfill his desires.
Yes.
Okay, which is there.
Even to serve him, the Lord has to facilitate.
Yeah, so that is fine. But his unlimited desires to serve the Lord in unlimited manner is simply fulfilled by the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
So in that sense, he is possibly this capable.
See, I think that you are confusing the Supreme Lord's Vishesha with reference to his intrinsic features is caused by his independent existence and will.
Yeah, but in the Jiva
or Jiva or Prakriti or Kala or Karma and so on,
it is simply caused by
the Supreme Lord. But still they have Vishesha. You can say that it is Vishesha which is granted to them.
Okay.
You can say the Supreme Lord has granted a limited amount of Vishesha to them. That's all. They don't possess it intrinsically.
The moment you say limited amount of Vishesha itself becomes very confusing. Either Vishesha, what do you mean of limited amount of Vishesha?
Because Jivas are by nature limited. The Jivas are by nature limited. First of all, they are finite. They are in fact infinitesimal, anu. Okay, so they cannot do everything that they want, no? Unless the Supreme Lord himself
agrees.
Agrees.
Let them do this.
But it is possible in principle for them to do it, right? Because Lord can agree if he wants.
No, I think that's
okay. But again, we have to keep in mind.
And that is where the constitutional position plays a role. That you don't want to do such things because of your constitutional position. Like a person in Madhurya Rasa, in Sakya Rasa, doesn't want to go to Madhurya Rasa because of his constitutional position of Sakya Rasa.
His nature.
His nature itself is Sakya Rasa. So why will he want to go to Madhurya Rasa?
And also another thing is Krishna likes them to be what they are.
Yeah.
There's another thing. Krishna likes a friend to be a friend.
Mm.
It's not that just because they are Kamarupa, they can assume any form they want.
Mm.
Even in Vaikuntha, for instance.
Mm.
They can assume any form they want. But that doesn't mean that every day they go on.
Yeah.
They may not. Again, the Supreme Lord has to sanction it.
No, but I feel that it's simply that the jiva's satisfaction in its own position for which the Lord has ordained them simply limits the jiva to not to do things which is beyond their.
But unlimitedly within that they can do.
Within that unlimitedly they can do. But that is a limitation, no? Like unlimited means that then.
They are not as unlimited as the Supreme Lord.
If I have a Sakya Rasa, I should also be able to serve in Madhurya Rasa. That's unlimited. Okay. But when I am in Sakya Rasa and I am simply satisfied in Sakya Rasa and I will not get into any other rasa, simply Sakya Rasa, by that characteristic of me being satisfied in that position, I am limited.
The jivas are intrinsically limited both in liberation and in bondage. Okay. Tat pratiti anyatha anupapatya evam dharman pritak pashyams tan eva anuvidhavati iti shrutya cha siddhaha. And Madhvacharya also has a quote from an Upanishadic statement to prove his point. The prohibition of perceiving the qualities as inherently different from the Lord is stated. Evam dharman pritak pashyams tan eva anuvidhavati. One who perceives the qualities of the Lord as different from him perceives only those qualities and ends up in samsara. Ihahi Brahma Dharman Abhidaya Tad Bheda Pratishidhyate. In this Kathopanishad text, indeed, the qualities of the Supreme Brahman have been described, and then the difference between that Brahman and those qualities have been prohibited. Thus, in explaining about the qualities of the Lord, it is forbidden to see real difference between those qualities and Himself. Na khalu Bheda Pratinides. तस्याप्य अभावे धर्मधर्मी भावधर्म बहुत्वे शक्ये वक्तुम इति अनुच्छुभिरपि स्वीकार्यास्यु. Even those unwilling to recognize Vishesha must accept that in the absence of this likeness of difference, Vishesha, they cannot even speak, since they are forced to use descriptive words bearing an object-attribute relationship. Baladev's commentary on Vedanta Sutra 3231 covers this point. As we observe qualities everywhere, we have to accept them. We also observe objects possessing the qualities. If we accept qualities, then they must relate somehow to the object they qualify. They cannot exist without a substratum or a relation to the substratum. That relationship is called Vishesha, an inherent power in the object itself, by which it distinguishes itself from the qualities and remains united with the object. Te ime artha shastre asmin yathasthanam anusandheya. These subjects will be examined in this scripture in the appropriate place. Ihahi jivatma paramatma taddhama tatprapti upayanam swarupani yathavan nirupyante. In this work, the exact natures of jiva and paramatma, their powers, their dhamma, their constitutional abodes. Actually not their constitution, his constitutional abode, Paramatma's constitutional abode. And the methods of realizing them will be precisely explained. Tatra jivatma yathatmya paramatma yathatmya upayogitaya paramatma yathatyam tu tad upasana upayogitaya prakrityadikam tu paramatmana srashtur upakarnataya upadishyate. The nature of the jiva So he explains, the nature of the Jivatma is explained because it is helpful for understanding the nature of the Supreme Lord. The nature of the Supreme Lord is explained because that is helpful for worship of the Supreme Lord. The nature of Prakriti, Kala, Karma has been described because they are instruments or ingredients or associated paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord, who is the Creator. So therefore, all these five topics are coming up into, because in Bhagavad Gita, the actual subject matters are this: Jivatma, Paramatma, Taddhama, Tadprapti, Upaya. The natures of the Jivatma, Paramatma, the abodes of the Jivatma and Paramatma.
What are abodes of Jivatma?
Abode of Paramatma.
The abode of Paramatma is spiritual variety. Then there is also an existence. Of, no, you there are living entities who get out and who don't get in also. There is a, yeah, we talk like that. We say that they are situated in the marginal state, Brahma Jyoti.
Okay, so that's what
referred. But other people say that there is no Brahma Jyoti.
They don't use expressions like Brahma Jyoti, but they acknowledge in the Ramanuja school, they acknowledge that there is something called Kaivalya Moksha, which is distinct from Kaimkarya Moksha. Kaimkarya Moksha means you attain Vaikuntha and you serve the Supreme Lord. That is final, Atyantika Moksha, final Moksha. Then there is, you get out of material existence and you don't get into spiritual variety also. You are stuck in the middle, in the marginal position. But they are out of samsara, they don't transmigrate anymore. So they are in Kaivalya. Ramanuja often describes them. So you can describe that, you can say,
referred to as the abode of the Jiva.
Here he is not actually saying Tattad Dhamma, he is simply saying the Jivatma, Paramatma, Taddhama. Taddhama means his abode, Paramatma's abode. Tadprapti Upaya, and the means for attaining that Paramatma. That's all. Okay. Now why is he bringing up this? Now if in reality there are five entities, how are they related to the subject matter in this book? And that he has explained that, first of all, he is bringing in the topic of Jivatma's nature because it is helpful for understanding the Supreme Lord's nature. Now why do you need to know Supreme Lord's nature? That is because it is useful for worship of the Supreme Lord. So that much is clear, Jivatma, Paramatma and Taddhama and so on. But then what about Prakriti, Kala, Karma? They are understood to be paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord, who happens to be the Creator.
So the means that comes under the topic of Upaya.
Who?
This Prakriti, Kala and Karma description comes under the topic of the description of Upaya?
No.
What is the Upaya?
Upaya means the means to attain.
Yeah.
The means to attain.
Yeah.
No, Upaya means sadhana.
Sadhana.
No, it doesn't come in sadhana.
So then why it is described?
It is described because the living entity's status has to be clarified. The living entity is bound by Prakriti, Kala and Karma.
But he said that the actual subject matter is Jivatma, Paramatma, Taddhama and Upaya.
Taddhama, Tadprapti, Upaya.
Four
topics. Yes.
He said only the four
yes.
subject matters are what is there.
Yes.
Okay?
So
and
the
then he said that four subject matters are connected to these five subject matters.
Yes.
So Jivatma is described because it helps us to understand
Paramatma.
Paramatma is described because it helps us to worship him.
Yes.
And then Prakriti, Kala, Karma is described because they are the creation of the Paramatma.
They are ingredients, upakarana. Upakarana means paraphernalia.
Of the Paramatma.
Of Paramatma. Now they are paraphernalia of Paramatma as the creator. That also he is saying, Srashtuhu. Because in the spiritual world there is no Prakriti, Kala, Karma.
Yes.
We are also talking of Jivatma's nature, Paramatma and so on. We are talking of Jivatma stuck in material existence here. We are not talking of the Jivatmas who are liberated there.
What is the difference then? Okay, because it has
talked about Kala. This Gita is talking about the position of the living entity here.
So where is the Upaya then?
Upaya will come. It will come.
Oh, okay.
He'll describe it.
Translated in Bengali, Taddham is Tahadev Dham, plural.
It's possible to derive it, but it's a little bit roundabout. Normally we would say tattat dhamma, their respective dhammas. Now in Ramanuja, I'll just read a small little bit from here. Ashesha jagadhitanu shasana shrutinikara shirasi samadhigato yam arthaha. The crown of the Vedas, that is the Upanishads, which lay down the good of the whole world, enshrines this truth. Jiva para yathatmya jnana purvaka varnashrama dharma iti kartavyata ka parama purusha charana yugala dhyana archana pranamadihi atyartha priyaha tat prapti phalaha. A seeker, after first acquiring a true understanding of the individual self and the Supreme and equipped with the performance of the duties pertaining to his station in life, must devote himself to the meditation, worship and adoring salutation of the blessed feet of the Supreme Person. This done with immeasurable joy leads to the attainment of the Supreme. Asya jivatmanaha anadya vidya sanchita punya papa rupa karma pravaha hetuka brahmadi suranaratiryak sthavaratmaka Chaturvidha deha pravesha krita tat tad atma abhimana janita varjaniya bhava bhaya vidvamsanaya deha tirikta atma swarupa tat swabhava tat antaryami paramatma swarupa tat swabhava tad upasana tat phala bhuta atma swarupa avirbhava purvaka anavadhika atishaya ananda brahmanu bhava gyapane pravrittam hi vedanta vakya jatam. The individual self is subject to beginningless nescience, which has brought about an accumulation of karma of the nature of both merit and demerit. The flood of such karma causes his entry into four kinds of bodies, heavenly, human, animal and plant, beginning with that of Brahma downwards. This ingression into bodies produces the delusion of identity with those respective bodies and the consequent attachments and aversions. This delusion inevitably brings about all the fears inherent in the state of worldly existence. The entire body of Vedanta aims at the annihilation of these fears. To accomplish their annihilation, they teach the following. 1. The essential nature of the individual self as transcending the body. 2. The attributes of the individual self. 3. The essential nature of the Supreme, that is the inmost controller of both the material universe and the individual selves. 4. The attributes of the Supreme. 5. The devout meditation upon the Supreme. 6. The goal to which such meditation leads. The Vedanta aims at making known, the Vedanta means the Upanishads, aims at making known the goal attainable through such a life of meditation, the goal being the realization of the real nature of the individual self, and after and through that realization, the direct experience of Brahman, which is of the nature of bliss, infinite and perfect. So this is what everyone who is explaining the Vedanta Prasthanatraya has to deal with. What is your position? What is the, why the scripture is there? Why does Bhagavad Gita speak so many topics and so on? So therefore he's explaining this. Jivatma, Paramatma, Taddhama, Tatprati Upaya.
That is what is it? Why do you invoke the Vedanta Sankara?
Because there also you see the same pattern. Same pattern. First you have to know Jiva. Then you have to know his nature as different from the body. Then you have to know Supreme Lord as different both from the Jiva and the body. You have to know his unique features. Then you have to know what is the ultimate goal.
This is how the subject matter is described.
Then Vedanta Sangraha is what?
Vedanta Sangraha is Ramanuja's first book. It is an essay on the teachings of the Vedas.
Okay.
Where he points out that Shankara, Bhaskara and Yadav Prakash, all three are wrong in their interpretations of Upanishads. And the actual teaching of the Upanishads is devotional service to Vishnu. It's a nice interesting book. That is a part of the curriculum also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's curriculum.
What is the name of that fight you said in the English translation you said? You translated the primary portions of the nuclear parts.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati curriculum?
Yeah.
What? Sarvabhauma Pariksha?
Translated in the word file.
Huh.
All the book's name and the list.
What is the file name?
Yeah.
I have to check. I definitely forgot. tad upayascha karma jnana bhakti bheda tredha. And those means are of three types, as karma, jnana and bhakti.
Upaya.
The three methods of attaining the Lord are karma, jnana and bhakti. Tatra shruta tat phala nairapekshyena kartritva abhinivesha parityagena cha anushtitasya swavihitasya karmanaha hridvishuddhi dvara jnana bhaktiyoho upakaritva paramparaya tat praktav upayatvam. Karma is regarded as an authorized method because it assists jnana and bhakti by purifying the heart through performance of prescribed actions with renunciation of doership and renunciation of the promised fruits of those actions, and thus it brings attainment of the Lord gradually, paramparaya, sequentially. So it is not a sakshad upaya, it is a paramparaya, you can say. You can say that it helps in attainment of jnana, and then jnana helps in attainment of bhakti, and therefore you can include karma as an upaya. There are several conditions here. Only under these conditions karma will even be an indirect help. Otherwise it won't. So it has to be performed in a certain manner. It has to be performed with the renunciation of doership means
renunciation of promised fruits of those actions.
Yeah. So these are all topics which the Lord will develop in Bhagavad Gita in the early chapters. There's also one more condition. Tachya shruti vihita karma himsa shunyam atra mukhyam. These duties prescribed by the Shrutis in the element of Karma Yoga are devoid of violence. That is the main element in them. Moksha dharme, pita
bhakti. What main element? Devoid of violence?
Yeah, it has to be non-violent. Moksha dharme, pita
bhakti. What does that mean, it has to be non-violent? That means you can...
You cannot engage in even allowed...
For example...
Kamya karma. Kamya karma, for instance, cannot is not acceptable in...
No, Yudhishthira is doing Ashwamedha Yagya. So, it is violent or non-violent?
No. Yudhishthira's engagement in Rajasuya Yaga or Ashwamedha Yagya and so on.
For example, Prutu Maharaj is doing 99 Ashwamedha Yagya.
No, so, but that is all analyzed by the Acharyas. Why these persons are getting into this in the first place? And it is clear that they are doing it for actually propaganda of bhakti to attract public attention and so on. Vishnu Chakravarti describes this in detail now. Why even somebody like Bharat Maharaj worshipped a sun god?
Yeah, demigods. He attends there in the Bhagavad
Gita. In great detail.
So
yeah.
You are basically saying that bridge preaching is okay?
If the bridge is constructed by the Supreme Lord, it is okay. But if the bridge is constructed by aspiring Vaishnavas, it is not okay.
So they followed.
So but why?
There are some basis for all this.
But then why he is saying that he is separately says he said that it should not be like this. Renounce the fruits, renounce the doership, that and all. And then he is specifically qualifying it should be non-violent and it is important. So why then it is being given that separate importance and we are doing Ashwamedha Yagya and then we are saying that we are doing bridge preaching? I don't know.
No. If you do Ashwamedha Yagya in such a manner that the animal is not hurt, then it is okay.
You have to cut and put it into the fire.
No, but then the soul has to be promoted to heavenly planets. If you cannot ensure that, then it's gone. It is risky. That is why it is forbidden in Kali Yuga, no? Why Lord Chaitanya forbade it in Kali Yuga? Ramanuja doesn't forbid it. No. It's Veda.
Forbid what? Krishna
animal sacrifice. Yeah, it isn't forbidden.
So then how does he...
Only Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, he explains that Pishta Pashu Yaga. With the grain, you create the form of a horse and you kill it, and that's Ashwamedha Yagya. That he says, that kind of Ashwamedha Yagya can be done even now.
That also gives evidence about...
Yeah, of course, it is there. Everything he speaks has got a basis.
So then our devotee is like, sir, like this.
What?
Then our devotee may start making a horse out of pulao and then he will say, we start sacrificing it.
If you're getting angry with somebody,
but this Ahimsa point is important. See, this Ahimsa point is important, and we will see Baladeva Vidyabhushan will bring up this point. In fact,
he's in the back. No more violence. Create a fog and beat the fog. That's what they burn effigies, though. They burn effigies in
Bangladesh. No, in Bengal they make sandesh in different form of fish and different animal shape. They make it. They sandesh. They have different eyes.
Okay.
And they make it.
We should not do all that.
And they eat sandesh fish.
Yeah. No, they don't eat in the sense of fish, but they only take fish. But it's like culture.
And there is a debate within ISKCON also. Lower than Puja Day, they would make in the, they make animals sweets, that sugar balls they would be out of that. No? So then there's a controversy whether you can eat it like that. I mean, children take that and eating, what sense is that like
that? How then devotees make soybean, then roast and something? I said devotees make roast with soybean. Chicken
like shapes or crazy. Fish like the what is like devotee. I didn't eat any.
Abominable.
But it tastes like, yeah, what is it? Yeah, yeah, Malaysia they have one. Okay, Moksha Dharma, Pita Putra Adi Samvada, Himsa Vattu Gaunam, in the discussion between father and son, there is a conversation there in Moksha Dharma. The method of karma characterized by non-violence is regarded as secondary because of its indirect nature. It is regarded as inferior, not just secondary, inferior, whereas the other two methods are direct.
Well, what are you talking about, sir? They say it's the considered inferior one.
Yeah, but a part of karma. There's part of karma, jnana and bhakti.
So war is violence, war is also okay, considered part of duty. What is it now?
Only under special circumstances.
When you are attacked, then you attack back.
If you are a Kshatriya, and if it is being fought on Dharma Yuddha or similar, there are very clear detailed situations.
That's not absolute, it's all based on considerations.
Of course, there are very serious considerations. Considerations, counter-considerations and counter-counter-considerations.
So violence means that act is taken up without proper consideration.
Yeah, for Kurukshetra itself, they spent one full year on trying to work out peace. No? 1 year they spent trying to work out if it's possible for there to be no war. Lord Krishna himself was endeavoring. Nano, tatha anushtitena karmana, hridvishuddhya, jnanodayena muktau satyam, bhaktya ko visheshaha. A question may arise, if one performs karma and purifies the heart, then with the appearance of jnana, one will gain liberation. What then is the speciality of bhakti? So then he will answer that. Uchyate, jnana meva kinchit visheshat bhaktiriti. It is said that jnana indeed is bhakti with some specialization. Bhakti is a certain type of jnana. This is again a concept that is taken from Ramanujacharya. Bhaktistu jnana vishesha eva. Bhakti is in fact a certain, it is one particular variety of jnana. Jnana means the process by which you get out of material existence. And bhakti is also a process by which you get out of material existence. You get much more than that. But certainly getting out of material existence is fulfilled in that, and therefore it's considered a special type of jnana. The reason why this has to be said is because the Upanishads say that other than jnana, there is no other way to get out of material existence. So you'll have to. But then what will you do with that statement of the Upanishads?
Upanishads. Just reconcile that.
You have to establish how the Upanishadic statement is correct. So then it is explained that bhakti is a superior form of jnana. It is a certain type of jnana, first of all. It is within the jnana category. The jnana that is opposed to karma in the Upanishadic statements, bhakti is within that jnana category.
There is no separate bhakti category in Upanishads?
No.
So?
Well, most of the Upanishads. Most of the, we are talking about the 10 Upanishads.
But what have our acharyas said in terms of that concept? It's a kind of jnana.
Yeah.
Like, you accept our
Baladeva Vidyabhushan.
What is the
English? Jnana meva kinchit visheshat bhakti riti. Jnana indeed is bhakti with some specialization.
It's a jnana is bhakti, but bhakti is jnana.
Okay, Baba, it's the same. No, what is it? A is B, B is not A. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, we go further. It is like saying there is only four categories of people: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Then where do the Vaishnavas come? Then you have to bring the Vaishnavas into the Brahmana category. That within the Brahmanas, the pure Vaishnavas all possess Brahminical features. Then there are Brahmanas who don't possess all the features of pure Vaishnavas. So
you just... Already there is a question that they ask about the Brahmanas, no? One Mataji asked me, but we are supposed to give up goodness all this. We are not supposed to give up goodness. Suppose associate, you have only those things which are bad. Like for example, say, becoming proud of the knowledge that you have, or you are not supposed to give up knowledge. You are supposed to give up pride due to that knowledge, or similarly.
You are supposed to give up the conditioning of goodness.
Hmm.
Conditioning of goodness refers to the
same thing. What
same thing. Like for example, you cannot say, okay, I am living peacefully in Mayapur, I cannot go to some city and
yeah,
catch
yeah,
if
yeah.
I need to do it. All those things are.
If Krishna wants you to do whatever, then you have to do whatever, that's all. Nindimesha vikshana, kataksha vikshana vat, anayor, antaram, chidvigrahataya, anasandhir jnanam, tena tatsalokyadhi, vichitra lila rasa, ashrayataya, anasandhistu, bhaktihi, taya, krodikrita salokyadhi, tadvarivasya, anandalabha, kumartaha. Jnana is a search for the Lord by conceiving Him as the form of knowledge itself, different from those persons who see the personal Lord with unblinking vision or sidelong glance. It leads to Salokya and other types of liberation. Bhakti, however, directly searches out, in that sense, a type of knowledge, the Lord, as the shelter of rasa and variegated pastimes. By bhakti, one attains the ultimate goal of bliss from serving the Lord, which includes Salokya and other benedictions within it. Anyway, I'm not going to discuss this in detail because this is also discussed in detail in Siddhanta Ratna, it comes. He analyzes this.
His introduction is very intense.
Yeah. Bhakti jnanatvam tu sachidananda ikarase bhakti yoge tishtati iti shrute hi siddham. The fact that bhakti has a status of jnana is shown in the shruti. Sachidananda ikarase bhakti yoge tishtati. The Lord resides in bhakti yoga, which is His one dear object of affection, composed of eternity, knowledge and bliss.
Okay.
Tadidam shravanadi bhavadi shabda vyapadishtam drishtam. Okay, you stop with that. 6 o'clock.
Your best friend Janaki Ram grew